didn't even clean up your mess. Tell you what. What happens when the teams take over the service? Man, oh man. All right, well, good evening. I hope you've enjoyed at least some of the music tonight. If you've heard my voice at all, I'm sorry to ruin it for you. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, and if you don't have your Bibles, there's one in the pew in front of you. And if you don't know how to use your Bible, well, I guess pretend like I do. Daniel chapter 6, and I'm going to try and get my notes pulled up here. I thought I was going to be preaching in the dark tonight. It would have been kind of cool. But then I guess I couldn't read my Bible, so. All right, Daniel chapter 6, starting in verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the princes, the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. Notice how they buttering them up here first before they give him the request. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now notice verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Jump down to verse 16, and it says, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this night. I thank you for this opportunity that you've given me, Lord, to share your words, and I pray that you would use me as a vessel for your work. Allow me to minister effectively, Lord. I pray that you would give me the words to say, give me the wisdom and guidance that I need, and I pray that you would just give us a night of blessing, dear Lord, and I pray that you would keep us safe on the roads traveling home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we're all familiar, I hope, with the story of Daniel, and I think the most familiar part to most people is here in chapter 6, where he's being thrown into the den of lions. Why is he being thrown into the den of lions? Well, because he's a faithful man, and there are some people that don't like that. There are some people that don't like that he is favored among them. Oh, well, he's better than us. We don't like that. Kind of like in our world today, with a lot of politics and governments and things, they don't like being overpowered. They don't like being undermined. That's kind of what's happening here with Daniel. He's preferred by the king himself above all the others. So we find here, after I pointed out verse 10, because it said that Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He knew that the king had signed the law, that it was now official, and it couldn't be changed. And Daniel knew it. So he has a choice to make. He was either going to make the right choice or the wrong choice. He's either going to obey his God and continue in his fervent prayer, or he's going to bow to the king and his laws and say, well,
sorry, Lord, but I don't really want to be eaten by some overgrown cat with knives for teeth, so I guess we'll just stop talking for 30 days. Most of you have known me pretty much my entire life here. And if you know anything about me, you know that I've always liked climbing trees. It's always kind of just been some, I got some giggles there. I don't know why that was funny. It's always been something that I've enjoyed. And over the past couple of years, I've gotten more into working with Caleb and some others and getting more into the work side of climbing trees with gear and that sort of thing. But my favorite kind of tree climbing, and the one I'm most familiar with, the one I'm best at, is what's called free solo climbing. It's the same term used in rock climbing. It means climbing without any kind of gear or ropes or anything like that, no harness. And when you're free solo climbing, even with rocks, but I'll talk about trees because, you know, I climb trees, not rocks. When you're climbing a tree without any gear, you tend to pay a little bit more attention to what you're doing. Because you don't have a rope or anything holding you up, you're making sure that that next branch is going to hold you, or that that next branch is going to, you're going to be able to step on it and not break. You're not going to be reaching out for some crispy little 1 inch in diameter limb that you know is going to snap when you put your weight on it. Why do you do that? Because, well, you're probably going to fall if you grab a dead branch or step on a dead branch. And something interesting is that the fall actually doesn't hurt. It's hitting the ground that usually leaves a mark. Not that I know from experience or anything, but the fall is actually kind of fun sometimes. But anyway, and I want to, there is a point to me saying this, believe it or not. I parallel a tree with our lives, specifically a tree with different kinds of limbs. The dead branches being bad choices, the good live branches that you can trust being the good choices that we make in life. When we walk throughout our lives, when we're climbing the tree of life, not that tree of life, not the one in the garden. The tree that represents life, when we're climbing the tree that represents life, what are we reaching for? What are the branches that we're trusting? What are our next footholds or our next handles that we grab to continue ascending up the tree? If we grab the bad ones, we go down very fast. If we grab the good ones, we often keep ascending, don't we? Eventually you do get to the top and you can't go any further. But here Daniel, he had a choice. He was either going to grab a good branch, or a bad branch. My phone keeps locking itself, that's annoying. He was either going to grab a good branch or a bad branch. And we find here which branch he grabbed. In verse 10, the end of verse 10, and he knew the writing was signed, and he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. This tells us that even before this scenario, David was a man of fervent prayer. And just because of this chance of facing death, a horrible death, might I add, being mauled by lions, nobody would want that. He still chose, Lord, you're worth it. My fellowship with you is more important to me than to dying. I mean, so he had a good spirit of surrender to the Lord. It would have been very easy for him to make the wrong choice here. I mean, not that we face a choice of life and death every day in our lives, but we face choices every day. And God expects us to not think too quickly, not to react too quickly, rather, to the choices that we have. I think sometimes, I know in my life especially, I don't know about you, I can't speak for you, but I make choices based on comfort or ease. Sometimes following the will of God, making the right choice, it's not always going to be easy, but it is always going to be better, and we'll be honored for it. I had a neighbor, I was 6 or 7 years old. Yeah, somewhere around there. We had a neighbor at the time, well, two neighbors actually, a couple. And the man was one of those guys. He was constantly using foul language, cussing all the time, and, you know, couldn't say a sentence without getting something filthy in there. And there was one particular cuss word that he would use constantly. Didn't matter who was around, didn't matter who heard him. And it was just this one word. It seemed to, I don't know what it was, but he said it all, even when it didn't make sense. You ever heard someone cuss and it just makes no sense? Like, why did you put that in there? And one day, little 6 or 7 year old me, you know, it was either bravery or just pure stupidity. I walked up to this guy and I said, "Mister, why do you say that word so much?" You know what he did? He walked away from me. He starts turning and walking away. So any normal little kid would say, "Oh, okay, I guess he's not going to listen." You know how it is with kids and adults, you know? You don't listen to them and they just kind of go away sometimes. Sometimes. Not in this case. No, I followed him. And I said, "Mister, why do you say that word so much?" And you know what his answer was? He looked down at me and he said, "I don't know. Hold on. Let me fix this.
I don't know. I guess it's just kind of my favorite word."
He was one of those, like, he wasn't a small dude either. He was a pretty decent sized dude. And I'm like, well, 6 to 7 year old, and I'm still not very big. I mean, you can imagine me then. But he was one of those guys, like, sleeveless shirt, shorts all the time, you know, walking around like plumber or something, you know. One of those guys. So he had that voice, you know. And he said, it was what he said next that is the point of me bringing this up. He said, "Oh no, it's kind of my favorite word." And he said, "I know I shouldn't say it, but I do anyway. I know I shouldn't say it." And that struck me, not then, because, you know, 6 or 7, whatever. But now I look back at that and I think, he knew what he was doing was wrong, and yet still pursued it. It sounds so simple when we think about it, doesn't it? We know something's wrong, so why do it? And we know it's right, so why not do it? But then it comes to actually making the decision. And that's where feelings come in, emotions come in. We let those things control us. Peer pressure, the outside forces that are coming in at us. We let them influence us to a point where we no longer think for ourselves, and we're constantly making those bad choices. We're constantly grabbing for those dead branches. Why? Because we don't have our firm foundation in the Lord as Daniel did. Prayer is an important thing. And not just prayer, but it's here in this passage, so I'll use it as an example, but so many other aspects in our relationship with the Lord. They're also very important, but prayer, man, without prayer, what is there? Without our communication with Him, how can we understand Him? Without our communication with Him, how can we ask Him for His help when we need Him? Without our communication with Him, how can we thank Him? How can we praise Him? How can we say anything to Him without having that constant talking to the Lord? I've heard it put many times that, I mean, we all know this, I'm not telling you anything new, but the Bible is God's way of communicating with us. And our prayer is our way of communicating with Him. Typically, when you're having a conversation with someone, in order for it to be considered a conversation, both parties are talking. Not just one doing all the... Oh, man, you ever get in a conversation like that? Oh, man. That bugs me. Yeah. Typically, conversations will go two ways, and both, you know, sharing opinions and going back and forth. But just having that relationship with the Lord that we know that we can depend on, that we can use to get us through those storms in our lives, those times when we feel like we can't go on. We feel like we can't get up. We feel like, you know, hope is fading, especially when we look around, even in our own country today. I keep stepping back from the mic, I don't know why. In our own country today, there's so much going on. Yeah, we've got a new president, he's better than the last, but when we look around, how much better are things, really? Not that much better. When we think of the spiritual aspect, nothing's changing. And it's not partially, it's our fault. As Christians, we're the ones that are supposed to be ministering to them. We're the ones that are supposed to be winning them over, and we're just not. Again, it comes back to the knowing the right thing to do and not doing it. It's tough sometimes. Well, no, it's tough all the time. But it's our duty. It's our command from God Himself. You know, I often think about it. If God were to, you know, miraculously descend from heaven and would float down and land right in front of me and told me, you know, whatever, go to the grocery store and buy me a head of lettuce. Obviously, like, you're God and you're standing right in front of me. I can see you. I mean, you created everything. You created me. You rule everything. You're all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent. Why would I not listen to you? Obviously, if we saw God in person, you know, we would want to do anything He asked. So what's the difference? Why is it any different if He comes and tells you in person or writes you a letter telling you what to do? It shouldn't make any difference, but here we are. I shouldn't be having to stand up here and teach tonight. Pastor shouldn't have to be preaching every Sunday. If we think about it and we all got down to it, we should live in a world where, you know, everything's good. Everyone's doing what they're supposed to be because it's very clearly manifest unto us. So why was Daniel spared? Well, let me read the first verse, I guess. As soon as I find it. Somewhere, I'm sure. Here we go. We'll do verse 19, I guess. Starting in verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. I also, before I go on, just want to make note here. Notice the influence that Daniel has had on the king. Sure, he's up in rank, and you know he's favored favored of the king for his talents. Sure, but I believe that Daniel had a spiritual influence on the king, because did you notice what he said right before Daniel was thrown into the den of lions? In verse 16, now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Daniel had a testimony, and the king saw it. He said, Daniel, that God that you pray to every day, that God that you serve so faithfully, he'll deliver thee. Sometimes I wonder if the king had more faith than Daniel. Doesn't tell us what Daniel was thinking or anything he said. I would be scared. We would all be scared. Maybe he, you know, was having that little bit of doubt. Was having that little bit of, oh, man, God, I serve you so faithfully. What's this? Why is this happening? And the king not any kind of Christian man, not one that served the Lord, said, "Your God's got you." And he did, didn't he? He had him all the way, and he was okay in the end. So why did God spare Daniel? I believe he spared Daniel because Daniel remained in the center of God's will. God's will for each of our lives is to be making the right choices, is to be following after him, is to be doing what he commands us. And Daniel did that. Daniel, in the face of opposition, in the face of death, said, "God, you're my Father, you're my Creator. I'm going to do what you asked, and I'm going to keep praying to you. I'm going to keep serving you. I'm going to keep following after you, pursuing a deeper relationship with you. Why? Because you're everything to me." Why isn't that our attitude? I'm speaking for myself as well here. But again, it sounds so easy when we think about it. But it comes back to that prayer. That prayer is what helps us do it. God is the only one that can strengthen us, enable us to serve him. The Bible says he won't give us anything that he can't strengthen us to handle. And I believe that he does. Because if he didn't, there's a lot of things we wouldn't make it through without him. I wanted to put someone on the spot tonight. For sake of an illustration. So, Isaac, would you want to come up here with me for a minute? Just a minute. I'm not going to make you, like, sing a song or do a dance or anything, okay? But come up here. I was thinking of illustrations I could use to illustrate following God's will. And I was brainstorming a couple, and Isaac came to my mind, so I'm going to use Isaac here. Okay, Isaac, I want you to hold my hand, okay? Hold my hand. Or is that not manly enough here? Let's hold wrists. How about that? Is that better? Is that better? Lumberjack handshake. Jim, we got it going. All right. Now, Isaac, here's what I want you to do. Actually, give me your other hand. Okay? Here's what I want you to do. Without letting go of my hand, without me letting go of yours, I want you to go sit back down. Done. Now, I had to use Isaac because anyone else would have been big enough to, like, pull me along. even him. Didn't work, did it? Didn't work. Why not? Well. I wasn't cooperating, was I? I didn't want to move. I didn't want to go your way, did I? Okay, now, you let go of my hand, walk down and stand in front of the door. That wasn't so hard, was it? Why? Because you don't have me holding you back anymore. Okay, so now come back up here. Okay. We're going to do some walking around. You tired of walking yet? Good. Okay. Give me your hand again, okay? Now I want you to follow me, okay? Ready? Sure. Going on a field trip. Okay. Now, was that easy or hard?
Easy.
It was easy? Why?
Because you were leading me around.
Because we were both moving in the same direction, right? Okay, thank you, Isaac. You can go sit down without my hand this time. Now, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to understand what I'm getting at here. And I hope you do. But Isaac couldn't go and sit down when he was holding my hand. He couldn't go his own way without letting go of me. Because I didn't want to go that way. That's not where I wanted him to be. But when he let go of me, he was able to go wherever he wanted. I told him to go down there, but, you know, he could have walked home for all he wanted, you know what I mean? But when he submitted himself and he followed me, we were able to keep holding hands, And yes, we went the long way around, but we still got back to our destination, didn't we? I'm not saying that following God's will is going to be easy. It never is. It usually isn't. Sometimes, you know, you get God's like, you know, I'll give you a break, but but it's always the better option. And you're going to face people who say, "Ah, what are you thinking? You're crazy, man. You don't want to sit. He's only holding you back. I was keeping Isaac from going and sitting down. He's only keeping you from going and having fun." And often we get to the point where we let go so that we can go our own way. But it's not in God's will. But that's not what Daniel did here. He still held onto God's hand and walked with him where he wanted him to go. And in the end, it wasn't easy, but it was best. Best for Daniel, best for those around him. And through it, he punished the people that tried to kill Daniel. In our lives, I try not to speak for other people. I try to only speak for myself. So, in my life, it's difficult sometimes to listen to what God tells me. I hear it just fine, but it's the listening part that oftentimes Christians struggle with. And I'm not here to, you know, tell you that you're doing it all wrong. This is, you know, do it my way. I'm just telling you what God's word is teaching me. And I believe that it applies to all of you as well. It applies to everybody. We need to be doing our job, our duty. Being like Daniel, taking a lesson from his life, this account. I try not to say story either, because typically when you think of story, you think of, you know, fairy tales and whatnot, unicorns and dragons. Well, dragons are real too, but well, and unicorns. Oh man, that didn't work. But this account of Daniel, and I've heard plenty of other different applications, but this is just one that God has laid upon my heart, the one that I wanted to share tonight, is just be faithful. Just be willing to keep hold of God's hand wherever He leads you. I was talking in a prayer breakfast a couple of weeks ago because I had the devotion. And I was telling them in the beginning how I had prepared a devotion. And, you know, I had all my notes and everything with me. And I actually got to prayer breakfast that morning. I was walking in the door. And I went to the back room. And for what I don't ever do this. I don't know why I did this. I took my notes out and was looking at them when I got back there. Everyone else was still in the kitchen, you know, finishing up making food and everything. And I looked at my notes. I thought, this isn't right. Something's not right. I don't think this is what I'm supposed to be seeing this morning. And so when it got time for my devotion after we were done eating and everything, I said, "Listen, guys, I had something prepared. But God's changed it. He's laid something different upon my heart." So I went on to share my testimony, one of my testimonies, an aspect of my life, my career path. When I was in ninth grade, you know how it is when you're that young, even still my age, you know, oh, I got it figured out and everything. Well, in ninth grade, I thought I had my career all planned out. I had really enjoyed carpentry. I was getting into it more and more. And I was starting to, you know, plan my future. I actually started saving up money and things to buy my own carpentry tools and all this and that. I planned on going to the Altoona Vo-Tech the next year for their two-year carpentry program or whatever it was. And I even got on my computer and looked at local companies that were hiring carpenters. Like, that's how dedicated I was. I mean, I was in it, man. I even had a job lined up for when I got out of the VOTEC. I'm like, this is great, you know? This is really going. And then I gave the long version of prayer breakfast, so a lot of you have heard it already. So I'll give the short version here, but things happened, and through circumstances and things, my career path completely changed. I have, like, 3 or 4 carpenter tools, like a drill and a level and a tape measure or something. Like, that's it. And I've blown all my money on, like, chainsaws and stuff. I never stepped foot on the VOTEC property, anything like that. I don't remember the names of any of the companies I plan on working for. And I'm cutting trees now. And I love it. It's so much better than carpentry. So much better. I thought I enjoyed carpentry until I started cutting trees. And it's like, man, that was boring. But there are so many opportunities that I would have missed if I had said, no, God, I want to be a carpenter. I don't want to cut trees. That's, like, dirty and stinky, and you got to have, like, gas and oil for saws and everything, and it's, like, that's expensive. Like, I can't do that. All of my money I had saved up on my carpentry tools ended up going toward climbing gear and saws and stuff like that. And you know what? I am a standing, walking, breathing testimony, and I can stand here and tell you that following God's will, it brought me out so much better than what I had imagined. If I had said no to God and followed my own path, I don't know where I'd be today. I don't know if I'd have the relationships with people that I have. I don't know that I'd have the experiences that I have. Following God's will is always worth it. It's always best for us. And even, not necessarily in my own life, but I've heard stories of others where a change in their life has greatly affected even those around them. Not even just family and friends, but just people watching them, seeing them out on the streets, at home, wherever. It's a testimony. And that's very important as a Christian, is to have a good testimony. But the point I wanted to get across tonight, I'll just leave you with this, is God always knows what's best. And it's up to us to just surrender to Him, be willing to say, okay, God, this is where You want me to go. This is where I'll go. And it'll always, always be worth it. It's not easy, but it's simple. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank You again for this day. I thank You, Lord, for the guidance, the clarity of thought that You've given me. And I pray, Lord, that I was able to be a blessing to some here tonight, and that through this message that You would work, Lord, even in my heart, preaching to myself here too. And I pray that You would just give us a good week, Lord. Give us a good rest of this evening.